Hi, welcome to episode 8 of Oral Fix Podcast. I am Drew Brown.
I am Henry Diaz.
And we are your hosts of Oral Fix. Oral Fix is a weekly social commentary podcast for the gay community. You can find us on Stitcher Radio as well as iTunes. Henry, what up, biatch?
What? What up, biatch? Since when do you call me biatch, you bitch? Like, is this Dynasty?
And this is episode number 8, so we got to change it up. We got to spice it up a little bit. So you're now...
Don't let Shanae come out of me, because I'll give you Shanae. Like, uh-oh, no, she didn't.
Anyway, so how are you? Are you still health free?
I'm still health free. Yes, thank you very much.
Illness free, I should say.
Illness free. Yes, free of any health ailments. No poison ivy. No sty. No amoxicillin. No prednisone. Yeah, it's just me and Shanae, because Shanae's gonna come after you. I can't believe you call me biatch. Okay.
So sensitive.
Well, I've been on a Shanae kick this whole like for the last 24 hours. I was on YouTube ever since I posted that post. With the Shanae gif, I don't know. Like, I'm like, I have to watch Martin. I have to, like, get all, like, the best episodes of Shanae. And, you know, I found it on YouTube. All the best episodes of Shanae.
You should also, it's one of the funniest thing ever, is Martin. Do you remember Wanda from A Living Color?
Yeah.
They did, like, for BET Awards ceremony, whatever. Jamie Foxx was hosting, and so they did this trailer of Wanda and Shanae, like in a movie, like a movie trailer. And it is the funniest thing ever. YouTube it. It is so funny. Put it in the show notes. It is really, really funny. It's like you'll die laughing.
Shanae and Wanda. Okay, movie trailer.
Shanae and Wanda, yes. It's really, really funny.
Oh, anyway. I'm going to look for it. Yeah. Other than that, I've been getting ready for a Renaissance Fair. I'm gonna start working at the Renaissance Fair again this year, starting the first weekend of August, in Sterling Forest. Everyone out there in New York, or anybody visiting New York who wishes to see me, moi, Henry and Diaz, at the Renaissance Festival. In tights. You will see me in tights. You'll see my crotch and everything, and yeah, I'll be selling jewelry over at Penny Lane for Rosalisa, my friend, who is a high priestess witch and psychic. She reads tarot cards also in Mystic Way, and she owns the jewelry booth on Penny Lane. And I'll put all the information in as soon as we get closer to that day. But yeah, I'm getting ready for it, and we're at the Renaissance Fair, and it's kind of different, you know, watching everything just being put together. It's interesting. I've never been behind the scenes like that so early in the season before it starts. So other than that, nothing else has really happened in my world. Just Shanae and Renaissance there. How about you? What's up with you, B?
I am just trying to stay fucking cold because it's so hot in New York. It is just unbearable. It's just the worst. So trying to stay cool and also trying to, I started a new job, so I have, you know, a little devil with Prada situation, so just trying to stay out of her arm's way. So I have that to deal with. And then, even though we clarified it, you know, last podcast, Star Guy came back, and I don't know what's going on with that.
What do you mean he came back? Like, he suddenly started calling you?
And he was just like, you know, I don't know. He's just like, you know, we need to make a decision because I really like you. And well, I don't know. It's just like this.
Oh.
It's just drama. I don't know.
Really?
I don't know. It's just like, yeah, exactly.
He said, we need to make a decision because I really like you. He said those exact words.
Well, because we weren't really, you know, we were rekindling our, you know, trying to see, but we weren't labeling ourselves as boyfriends. Yeah, we were just kind of taking it easy. And he's like, you know, I think we need to either make a decision. He's like, I don't think we can do that because we have, you know, we obviously have history. So it's either we're going to be boyfriends or we're not, but I would like for us to be boyfriends and all of this. So he's, I don't know. But I have no idea. I'm at this point, I'm just kind of like, I think the ship has sailed. I don't know. I think when I'm with him, I feel like I see I'm attracted to him. We have great chemistry and everything is there. But then, you know, the way he's been acting lately when I'm not around him, it's just kind of like out of mind kind of thing. So I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see. We'll see what happens. So hopefully he'll get it together. But other than that, you know, it's just been a very slow week. You know what I did see?
What?
I don't know if we have much time for this, but I saw the Gay Porn Awards on TV.
Ooh, really? All like they broadcast everything on what channel?
It was on Showtime. You know, I was going to be for 2011, but it was, you know, this year, but it was for 2010, and they showed it as if it was 2011. But anyway, and it was really interesting. It was hosted by Alex Mappa, who's a comedian. I gotta say, you know, we did a whole porn episode, and the reason why I don't usually watch gay porn came to life. I was like, now I know why I don't want to watch like your typical gay porn. Like we talked about what our, you know, likes are, but all the porn stars, they just seemed really like queeny, and not that there's anything wrong with that, but they just seem like just kind of like. People
bottoms?
Like, really? My dick would not get hard for you at all whatsoever. You know? It was really, really weird. There were some cuties though. And I'll go really fast. There were some cuties. Austin Wilde, he is really hot. Kyle King was really hot. There's this other guy named Wilfred Knight, and he was wearing this he had blood dripping down his face and calling himself the Susan Lucia of the Porn Award because he's never won. His name was Wilfred Knight. He was actually really cute. And this other guy, Logan McCree, he has, like, lots of tattoos and just really hot and sexy. And there's a really interesting porn called Dad Takes a Fishing Trip. And I was like, what's going on? Yeah, it's called Dad Takes a Fishing Trip. It's really weird, and I was like, okay. And then there's also this guy, and I think you can also
find him on YouTube. Did they, like, show a trailer of Dad Takes a Fishing Trip on TV?
Well, they were nominated for several of awards. So, you know, they didn't win anything, but they were nominated. I think maybe one of the actors, I have no idea. And then there's also this guy, I think you can find him on, you know, and if you want to know some porn star moves, it's called Hot the Fuck, like Diesel Washington, and I believe they said you can find it on YouTube. It's really interesting.
Oh, my God. YouTube?
Yeah, I know. That's what I said, too. But it was
How
it was
to
really
Fuck
like
Diesel Washington. Okay.
Yeah, but a lot of the stars that were there were just like, oh, my God, like, I would not be able to get off to you because you were just really not, they weren't attractive, but as soon as they opened their mouth, it was just like, really, you're a porn star? Like, anyone could be a porn star, apparently. But anyway.
Gay porn awards or just porn awards, like straight gay?
Porn. No, these are the gay porn awards.
Wow, Showtime. Way to go, Showtime.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, it was very interesting. And maybe, you know, on another show, I'll make a mention of some of the winners. So this way we can, if people out there who want to, you know, jack off to some porn, I'll let you know who were the 2010 winners of the Gay Porn Awards. So, anyway.
Well,
that was... What?
Go ahead.
What were you going to... So that was just really interesting. I stayed up really late because I, you know, have to get up early to go to work. But I was like, oh, this would be a good topic, you know, just to talk about. So I stayed up late to watch it. And I was really just kind of really like, why am I watching this? So it was kind of like a train wreck that you just kind of take your eyes away. Because it was really bad, but I just kept on watching it because I felt like I was going to miss something.
So you didn't get any material to jack off and go to sleep with, huh?
No, not at all. But, you know, the guys that I mentioned, Austin Wild, he definitely is a hottie. But the guys that I mentioned, including, you know, Austin Wild, they're pretty hot. But I don't know if I would run out and buy their porn, per se. But, you know, whatever.
If I was to do the porn awards, I would definitely make it so spectacular that when it was over, you would just come. In your pants. Literally.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, but that's the other thing, too. I was like, well, we have this, like, you know, I saw all the people there, and I was like, you know, we got to find a way to get, you know, all six needs to be there next year. But, you know. But then when I saw you know, it happened, it was taking place in San Francisco. And but when I saw the actual award, it was just kind of bland. It was produced by, like, you know, the gay VN. And then also in conjunction with NakedSword.com. So anyway, that was that. So I guess,
wow.
You know, porn, you know, this kind of goes really well into our next topic, our next segment, which is for Tit for Tat. And Tit for Tat is where we bring up, you know, it could be an article, it could be something that happened in a week that we want to give our opinion outside of the story to you and to just, you know, do some things off of our chest. So this week's tit for tat is I actually was flipping through Details magazine with the cover of Shia LaBeouf on the cover. The August issue, and they had a whole article or a little article on the secret to a hotter erection is in your fridge. I was looking at the issue of Details magazine, the August issue, with Shia LaBeouf on the cover, and the article was The Secret to a Hotter Erection is in Your Fridge. From garlic to ginger, chocolate to cherries, here are the foods that do the work of the little blue pill, and that being Viagra. Now, I don't know if you've had a hard time, you know, getting it up. You know, you've had other ailments, but maybe, you know.
Don't even try to work my corner, bitch, because you don't belong. Yeah, okay.
You know,
that's not your business, okay?
Here are the things that they mentioned as part of the fertility diet. So,
what you trying to say? I have a problem here.
You have many problems, but I don't know if getting an erection is one of them. But anyway, so listen,
if you need to know, I do not have a problem with getting an erection, okay?
Okay, well, that's good. Why do you sound like the guy from South Park? Okay. Okay, so now we're moving on. So, the
fertility
diet.
Trying to read now?
Are you gonna be quiet? Hush. Okay.
Well, you know, it's a Shanaynay coming out of me, and I was really surprised when I was watching her yesterday that Shanaynay was actually, like, really, like, dumb-sounding. It's been such a long time since I heard her talk, and I was like, what? She's really retarded. So I was trying to impersonate her right now, but I guess I did, like,
okay.
A South Park thing.
Okay.
So, all right.
Okay, you're not a black woman. I know you feel like you are, you know, you're trying really hard, but you're not a black woman. So simmer down.
Okay, yeah. Go ahead. Get your erection on. All
right, so now we're moving on. So the fertility diet, which is what they say in the article, the secret to a hotter erection is in your fridge. So take some notes, Henry, just in case if you need it. So watermelon is one of them. The summer fruit stimulates your blood flow to the penis, strengthening your erections. Dark chocolate is one of
them. I hate watermelon. Mm.
So
I hate watermelon.
I'm black, but I don't eat watermelon. Dark
yeah, only the black people from the South eat watermelon.
Hey, don't be racist. Anyway, dark chocolate is one of them. Here is something that you haven't had in a really
long time. I love dark chocolate.
I'm sure you do.
No wonder I'm so horny all the time.
even though I know you've lost your cherry a long time ago, cherries is also one, too. They are really good for, you know, improving your blood flow and to cleanse your free radicals from arteries and relaxing them and all that good stuff. Oysters is another one.
Ew.
It also is also an I would never eat that.
Me neither. So dirty.
Grass. Yeah, exactly. Grass-fed butter. I don't know what the hell that is, but apparently that is good for erections.
What? Grass-fed butter?
Yes. And recent studies they have shown that people with the highest intakes of the vitamin K2 found in grass-fed beef and dairy products like butter cut their risk of coronary heart disease in half.
Mm.
So it's good for your heart as well as your penis. So the next thing is garlic. So not only would it keep the vampires away, but it's also good for...
I love garlic.
Getting the blood flow to the, you know, boosts your blood flow to your penis. So it's also really good and also relaxing your blood vessels. And I know you love this one, but bananas.
Ooh. Well,
bananas.
I have to be in the mood for a banana.
Wow, you're always in the mood for a banana. Bananas are really good as well. Walnuts.
Oh, I love walnuts.
So, yes. The other thing, ginger.
Mmm.
Nutmeg.
Why ginger?
Because it scrubs the blood vessels of free radicals and decreasing inflammation. So it relaxes your arteries and improves your blood flow. So that helps you get your pinga hard. The next thing is nutmeg, as well as olive oil, salmon.
Oh, I love those too.
And alcohol. Red wine is usually the best. So but don't go binge drinking, you know, thinking, you know, you're going to get an erection. Because you don't want to have beer goggles and get
home. Oh, my God.
Anyway, another nut made the list, pistachios.
Oh, I love pistachios too.
And almonds. So
I love my nuts.
I know you do. So those are things. So you don't have to really take Viagra just to get an erection. So I thought it was very interesting. And then the five things to kill your libido are salt, soy, canned food, trans fats, and sugar.
Ew. Really? Sugar? So that means if I'm going to have chocolate, I'm going to have chocolate without sugar in it?
Wow. Well, studies show that testosterone levels can decrease by as much as 25% after a blood sugar spike. So I think you just need to be, you know, like anything, you know, in moderation.
Hmm.
So when your testosterone drops, so does everything else. No pun intended. So the other thing that was also kind of interesting in the article was about aphrodisiacs, fact or fiction. They listed, you know, some of them. One was Spanish fly. That's been around for years. And it says that it does not include, you know, it does not improve your sexual function at all. So
it doesn't improve mine. I've done many Spanish flies. And
Lord have mercy.
I have done them in many different places and occasions, especially in dark places.
And so another one is black tea. is a Chinese legend has long maintained that tea is a powerful sex enhancer, and this is actually a fact, that black tea can decrease anxiety, increase testosterone, and improve your performance. So as an aphrodisiac, you know, black tea should be on your list, on your grocery list.
I have to decrease my amount and my intake because I'm always really, I drink a lot of black tea. And
yeah, is that why you're always thinking you're monkey?
Yeah, that's what, you know, like, yeah, I think that's why. Like, I switched from coffee to tea, black tea, and all of a sudden, like, I'm spanking my monkey a lot. And I'm like, am I, like, you know, at a sexual peak right now? I'm like,
Well, you need to simmer down there. You need to simmer down on that. Have you ever taken, like, I mean, some people take the blue pill, you know, even though they're, you know, don't have problems with getting it up.
I think I may have heard somewhere along the line that if you do have good, healthy sexual functions, you know, and you get it up all the time with no problem, and you take the pill, supposedly it doesn't, your erection doesn't go down. Like, you get that side effect where, like, your erection lasts more than 4 hours.
Oh my god, that's out of control.
And then you go to the emergency room and they, like, stab you with something, or you have to take the red pill, or I don't know.
Yeah, that's not cool. That's
a nightmare.
No. Yeah, I don't want a 1 minute man, you know, but, you know, at 4 hours, mama needs to sleep. So, you know, of course we're going to have all the, you know, the article posted in our show notes. So, you know, you can add these, you know, all of these things, you know, to your grocery list of things. So this way you can, you know, be hard as a rock as you go out and, you know, do your thing.
Well, thank you very much, Miss Thing, Miss Drew. I'll definitely will. I'll go out for Tisk and a Tasket, and I'll make sure I put a lot of cherries, a lot of nuts in it, a lot of chocolate. I love olive oil, so I'll put some fresh extra virgin olive oil in it.
But yeah, and I guess the other thing too, I mean, there's always these studies that, you know, that says these things work, but then, you know, you never really know how much of this is true, but, you know, and then the other thing too that's so funny is that I don't understand why, of all things, it's like, you know, we have so many diseases out there, like, really, I mean, if your dick is, you know, can't get it up, but, you know, there's all these, you know, people find it really hard, you know, will find a way to, you know, create a pill or tell you what you need to, you know, take to get an erection, but yet we can't find a cure for cancer.
Well, I hear, well, before we close up, I just want to add my little tidbit here. You know, I once heard from a vintage porn actor, I can't remember his name right now, that the way he was known for shooting a lot of cum in a lot of his scenes, and his secret was taking a lot of zinc before he had to perform, and zinc supposedly. Yeah, and I was like, wow, I'm going to try that. And he did, and it worked. It was like, wow, you know?
Okay.
I mean, I'm not going to, I mean, I haven't depended on zinc just for that, but it's really interesting. It is really, really interesting. So for all you guys out there who want to sperm a lot more, get yourself a bottle of zinc.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it's also better. I'd rather, if I do have a problem, which, you know, knock on wood, I mean, at some point, I'd rather do it the natural way. Like, I'd rather eat almonds or, you know, have a glass of wine or eat some dark chocolate or then take a pill. Like, I'd rather do it, like, the natural way. So if these things could actually work to, you know, get my juices flowing, I'd rather go that route rather than take some, you know, pill.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there you have it.
Wow. Well, you know, all these tips do usually help, especially to improve a sex life. And thank you, Details Magazine. And thank you for subscribing to Details Magazine, Ms. Drew.
Well, you know, it is almost like a, I mean, this magazine, even though it's not a gay magazine, it's very gay. So
yeah, tell me about it.
So anyway, of course, we'll have all of this into our show notes, so, and you can, you know, find links to anything that we talk about in our show notes there and all that good stuff. So we are going to take a break, and then we'll come back, and we'll get back with you with our next segment.
Toodaloo. Welcome back. That was Psychic City, the classics remix by Rain City. And I love Oh my god, I can't believe that you picked them this week for this podcast.
Wow.
Mr. Drew.
Well, you know, I have great taste. Can't always say the same for you, but you know.
Well, I didn't think you were really serious when I started introducing you to them, or you probably already knew them. I started introducing them to the blog. We generally have the same music taste, which is good, so that's good.
Yes, that we do, that we do.
So onward to our main drag segment. This is where we highlight something that I or Drew would like to bring forth to your attention, everyone out there who's listening to us. Regarding the gay community or so and whatnot, and the topic for this week, since we've been on a relationship dating vibe for the month of July, we have dating tips. Well, actually, not so much dating tips. It's, gay astrology is going to be, and how to apply it to dating or your relationships. And many of you may not know that astrology is not only for straight people, because most of the books that are out there is not queer-based. the astrology books that are out there and the content that is out there is mostly for, it's really generalized. It's mostly for heterosexuals. And the way that it's written now, especially for relationship-based astrology, is based on principles of man and woman, boy meets girl. And people like Linda Goodman, who I really look up to, people like that write really good astrology books for relationships and dating and whatnot. But, you know, there's a certain point where it's not helpful, and I can't identify anymore. And as of, I think, 2004 or 3, I started looking around for stuff. I know as a teen coming out, I double-dabbled in a lot of New Age books, and I looked for stuff that I can identify with. And, along the lines, I should have bought these books, but I saw books like gay magic and gay Wicca or, you know, gay this and gay that, and I never picked it up. And for some reason or another, I did recently in the recent years, and one of the best books that I picked up that's been very instrumental in my life is called Queer Astrology for Men. And I believe I mentioned this in a previous podcast. This book is written by Jill Dierman. And Jill Dierman writes for the gay community. I don't know if she's a lesbian. I should really find that out at some point. Oh, she used to be an HIV counselor, says here, in the 90s. That's interesting. I was one also in the 90s. I wonder if she's about my age. She looks like she could be. Anyway, she writes for gays and lesbians. So there is another book out there called Queer Astrology for Women. And you can purchase these books, actually, on our Amazon widget on our blog. And we're going to go through the zodiac and kind of like, pin the tail of the donkey, you know, like I and Drew.
Now, do you not date people based on signs? Like, do you, like, when you hear, like, they're a Cancer, do you, like, oh, God, no, I'm not
going to
date them?
I don't know if I should be talking about this, but, yeah, I do. To be honest, I do. I really do. Like, there's certain signs that have, over and over again, have, you know, driven me up the wall, batty, crazy. And I refuse. I'm very careful, even if they're so charming, like Libras. Libras can be, they can charm the pants off of you before you even really get to know them. And if you date them and, you know, because you kind of like disregard all your previous experiences with Libras that you dated in the past. there's definitely like this Looney Tunes element, well, at least with me and my friends, a couple of my friends who dated Libra, that sort of happens. It's like, you know, there's an anvil that falls on top of your head somewhere. And you're like, what the fuck just happened? See, the thing behind astrology is that everyone, you know, even though you may be a Taurus, an Aries, a Gemini, you were born under that certain sign, doesn't mean that you're gonna have all those traits. It just means that you were born, you know, that the sun was in that constellation during that time that you were born. But there are other factors that make up who you are, and that's why it's important that you do your chart so that you know what other factors are in there. Your sign, like let's say if you were born in the month of Sagittarius, that means that Sagittarius, you have most of those common general traits. And you operate just like a Sagittarius. Though there are other influences, like at the time of your birth, there were certain, you know, patterns, stars, constellations, and different areas of the zodiac that affect you, depending on where the sun was and these constellations. So it's really important that if you really want to get into this and you really want to not just generalize a lot of this, and just pick, you know, buy Jill's book and just flip through it because, you know, you want some more insight on somebody. You know, there are other factors. And I would go to astro.com where you can get a chart done for free, and you can get a lot of detail information about your chart and, you know, your makeup. And also, you could do a relationship chart, and they are gay and lesbian friendly, which is so awesome. They also have other packages that you, you know, you can purchase. And I purchased a couple of them, and, you know, I swear by them. So let's start with the baby. Okay, you have a question? Uh-huh.
Well, we're both Tauruses, and, you know, I hear a lot of, you know, people talk, you know, in terms of relationships, and what I've read in other books, you know, they say that Capricorns are a really good match. Have you dated a Capricorn?
Oh, God. You really want to ask me that question?
Because well, Sawman is a Capricorn.
Sawman is a Capricorn? No! Okay.
Yeah, okay. He's January 1st. He's actually our New Year's.
Really?
Baby.
He's January 1st? Oh, my God. I feel for you and him. No, Capricorns, you know, Capricorns are really, really, really sweet and endearing people. Anybody who knows a Capricorn, who are friends with them, or has a family member who's a Capricorn, they'll be there for you till the day you die. You know, like, they'll take a bullet for you. And they're very caring people. You know, they're earth sign also, just like Taurus. They're very giving of their love, and they're loyal, and you can always count on them. The only thing is with a Capricorn is that when you're dating them, it's a different story. Capricorns don't tend to do very well with their own emotions, and so, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if a lot of Capricorns out there have problems, you know, with their digestive tract. And you know, the other thing about signs is that, you know, the month that you were born in can be broken down to three parts, and they call it decanates. And those decanates also make up, you know, how potent you are with those traits of that sign. And if you were born in the first decanate, like Solomon, and my father was a January 1st Capricorn, they tend to be very, very flighty, not very absolute, only with their family and closest friends. And they drink a lot and probably drug a lot. And, you know, they don't hold down stable relationships. So, you know.
Oh, my God. That's probably why I need to get out, because he drinks wine a lot.
They say,
flying a lot, and he is kind of flighty sometimes, like, and that's what I think. And but he's that way also with his close friends, like people who I know two of his, you know, close friends, and they're like close friends of his. But I'll ask him, like, hey, how are they? And he's like, oh, I don't really know, like, I haven't spoken to them, blah blah blah. So it's just kind of like, oh, okay, well, that's supposed to be a close friend. So I don't know, maybe it could just be the dynamics of their relationships. But he does definitely seem to have, you know, there definitely seems to be like red flags with him, you know, in terms of, you know, relationships, you know, kind of things.
Well, I dated this Capricorn once, and I really fell for his charm. They could be charming also, just like Libra.
So he's very charming. Like, he's very, yeah.
They could be very beautiful also, very, you know, they probably can't be, they don't have, like, they're not, some of them could be not the best looking people, but just their soul, their spirit makes them beautiful. Yeah. Okay. So this is what Jill Diamond says about your Capricorn here. It says these middle, and we're talking about the decanate here, so this is that three-part breakdown in the month. It says here, these middle Capricorns are the earthiest and truly the most fun. They are highly sexual and pleasure-oriented compared to other Caps, that is. They are most likely to pursue artistic and athletic careers because of the Venusian influence of Taurus makes them more inclined to be creative. And the super earthiness of the bull sign makes them more in touch with their bodies than other Capricorn boys. So they are strong and resilient and can weather the many storms of life. They make the best or at least the easiest lovers, as they appreciate stability and enjoy sex with the same partner regularly. These guys strive for simplicity of life. Now, she may have said that and about your Capricorn and everything, but, you know, the Capricorn actually that I dated also fell within that decanet, and he also fell into, like, she also says something about Capricorns that, you know, if you start dating a Capricorn who is a, you know, from that decanet, they like to dance the dance of a thousand veils, meaning, like, they can bullshit their ass off. And, like, you know...
Oh, that's so funny. I called him a used car... I called him, like, you're like a used car salesman. I said that to him. That is so funny. I know for that. I was like, yeah, but you can charm me. You can tell me everything I want to hear, but then you don't pick it up. And I was like,
exactly.
You know? Like, and I was just like, no. Like, he's just like, oh, well, he's like, and then he felt like... Then he became, like, very self-conscious about, like, what to say. Because if they call him and say something, because, you know, you're going to think I'm being used to... Used car salesman. I was like, but no, that's how it comes across. Because you always have the right words to say, but yet action speaks louder than words. You know what I'm saying? Like, man up. Like, either it's gonna happen or it's not. Like, you know, it's all good. You know, but that's so funny. That's there.
Well, the other reason why I like Jared Diamond's interpretations, you know, she also goes into sex. She goes, you know, she has. Like, all these, you know, really insightful, you know, she starts off with the life of a Capricorn. Well, actually, she starts off with their element, and their element dictates, you know, their strength or, you know, how they relate to the earth. There's four elements, earth, wind, and fire, you know, earth, air, fire, and then water. And earth usually tends to be really dense, but very stable, you know, very fixed. She goes into the ruling planets, and for Capricorn, you know, it's Saturn. Saturn's all about lessons and teaching and stability and planning. So Capricorns could be really good at that. Their erogenous zone, so she always lists each sign's erogenous zone, and I found these to be true because I've always, you know, if I date somebody or I fool around with somebody on the regular, I find out their sign so I can know their erogenous zone. And for a Capricorn, it's their knees. Usually, like, if you, like, work the back of the knee, oh, my God, do they, like, really get turned on?
Oh, my God, I think that's interesting.
Yeah, especially if you're going to top them. Like, if you top them and, like, you put your knees on their knees, on the back of their knees, and you just, you know,
wow.
Give them a couple of good thrusts and rub up against their knees. You'll probably make them come really easily.
Oh, wow.
Best trait.
So, you know, only on oral fix do we give you good ways to, have sex as well, give you positions, and as well as a shopping list of things to help you get, you know, an erection. Only on oral fix. You can thank us later.
Best traits of a Capricorn: ambitious, dry wit, patient, dry wit and patient. The worst traits: opportunistic, overly cautious, depressive and depressing. Now, see, the guy that I dated was exactly that. You know, like his worst traits were on the fly all the time. Opportunistic, always finding a reason for me to come over there and never coming over to my place. And it was always his way. Overly cautious, so he can never commit to anything. I would have to force him to commit to even, like, dating and doing something I wanted to do. And then it was, you know, depressing and depressive, you know. And it was like, what else can I do to cheer you up? You know, it seems like sex is not working. It seems like, you know, kissing you or rubbing you or... you know, consoling you. I mean, it was like I couldn't make him happy.
Wow. Lord of mercy. See, this is why, you know, being a Taurus is, you know, being the best sign in the zodiac. You know.
So let's go. So did you have some questions? Because I interrupted you.
I don't have any questions about. What you said. A lot of stuff. Some of it's true, but about. So let's say for some other signs, like there's always like the myth of the Scorpio. You know, Scorpios are, you know, are insatiable. Like they're always one step.
Oh,
there,
I love talking about Scorpios. And Scorpios, yeah, they tend to be. Scorpios are very. I've been doing astrology since I was a kid. Scorpios, I grew up with Scorpio brothers and people in my family who were Scorpios who just, like, I never got along with. But, coming to know them even better now, especially with Jill Dearman's interpretations, she's, like, so on the money with me. They are very loving people. And they're loyal. And the thing is that they love power play and power manipulation. And they always think they're right. And you know, at heart, and underneath all that shell, they're actually really soft on the inside. You know, they're kids. You know, they're like kid-oriented. And if you try to tell them right from wrong, you have to use kid gloves. Otherwise, they get really angry and they shut you off. They can be, yeah, and the corniness is that, you know, they just want to, it's who they are, you know, they probably have something, you know, maybe they have some Capricorn in them, because Capricorns can be very corny, especially in bed. That's the other thing with Scorpios. Scorpios can be very fearful, and they get into a space where, like, they're unsure, so that's where that corniness may come out from. Their element is water, so they're very fluid and kind of airy, like, other air signs like Libra and Aquarius and Gemini. Actually, is Libra an air sign? I think she's an air sign. Let's see. Yeah, Libra's air sign. So, you know, Scorpios can be flighty like them, but they're very, since they're a water signs tend to be very sexual, because that whole water, you know, water is a conductor of energy, of electricity, so... They also have ruling planet Pluto, and Pluto is all about transformation and death and power, so, and recreation, and Mars also, so those are very high sexual planets. And their Rajana zone is their genitalia. So it's all about, you know, yeah, for Scorpio, it's all about, you know, you going down on them, foreplay. You better, like, know how to get good head if you want to keep that Scorpio. But see, that's the other thing with Scorpios. Scorpios can mate, you know, once they have a mate, that mate is like for life, unless you, you know, you show them otherwise. Their best traits are, you know, they're charismatic, they're driven, they're emotional, they have an emotional depth. Their worst traits is that they're domineering, and they're secretive, and extremely moody, and they have extreme mood swings. Yeah. And the interesting thing with... You know, I have to point out also with Jill Dearman is that she tells you how to seduce these people, especially when you're doing them and dating them, how to last a long haul, how to get rid of them, and she gives you like a compatibility like analysis. If you want, I could give you one of you and Stallman, the Capricorn. Let's see. Do you want one? Do you want to hear your compatibility with Capricorn?
Sure, I guess so.
Let's see what it says. Capricorn. I'll just skim through it because I pretty much know what she's going to say. I read this. Capricorn, Taurus, and Scorpio. Taurus and Capricorn. Here we go. So it says here, Taurus and Capricorn, these two earth signs are divinely compatible and have a great potential to be together for years and years. Right from the start, there will probably be an attraction. The Taurus man likes the Capricorn man, that he's serious about his work and serious about sex. Mr. Taurus will take it upon himself to loosen up the goat, who he believes is just a little too uptight and should enjoy himself more. Mr. Capricorn is, in turn, intrigued by the bull's hedonistic inclinations, but he doesn't completely buy them. He knows that security and money are just as important to Mr. Taurus as they are to him. And then she goes on saying, Once involved, these two will find that they have similar rhythms. In life and in bed, they move at similar, slow but steady earth sign pace. The Capricorn man may be a little more driven and maniacal about attaining his goals, and the Taurus may be a bit more fun and lazy, preferring to watch movies and eat chips while the Capricorn is banging out reports and budgets.
That's kind of true.
On his laptop.
There's sometimes when I just want to, like, you know, especially after, like, a long day work, where I just, like, I don't want to think about anything. I just want to, like, veg out in front of the television and, like, do that. Meanwhile, he doesn't watch TV at all because he has, like, addictive personality. So he's like, I don't watch TV. If I own the television, I would not get anything done. I would just sit in front of the TV. So he, you know, he watches Netflix, but that's about it. And then he'll go through, like, he'll have an obsession with something. So he'll have, like, recently, he was just like, he'll watch every gay film that was ever made, and then he'll get tired of it, and he'll move on to the next thing. But meanwhile, me, I'm just like, oh, what are you doing? I'm just like, oh, I'm tired. I don't want to think, because, you know, sometimes when you're working and you're on all the time, sometimes I just want my brain to just rest, and just watching bad television allows that to happen, you know? So, anyway. So we'll see what happens. I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, we're good. Like, we're good, a good match, like, when we're together. But he needs to get it together.
Yeah, that's their problem. They're like Libras. Libras are always, like, you know, putting things on the scale. You know, what are the pros and the cons? You know, what are the pros and cons this time around? You know, it's like, come on, make up your freaking mind.
Yeah.
All right. So, yeah. have you ever dated an? Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Have you ever dated an Aries?
I haven't dated an Aries. I have good friends that are Aries, but I've never dated an Aries.
It says here an Aries erogenous zone is his head and face. Now, I've dated several Arieses before, and some of the, you know, fuck buddies that I've had, you know, several of them have been Aries, and I have to say that this is true. You know, like, if you rub their head, and it's kind of funny, like, most of them have been bald, so it's like, you know, I rub their heads, like, with, like, you know, they're going down on me or something, or, like, you know, while we're kissing, and it just turns them on, all of them. It's kind of weird. And their face, it says here their face. Now, I don't know about their face. I guess if you kiss them a lot, you know, they have been to kissing a lot, those guys. And then,
what about Sagittarius? Sagittarius, most of the people in Sagittarius, and generally, I get along with them. They're pretty a good son. I've never had any problems with it. Sagittarius,
yeah, I haven't really dated or done a lot of Sagittariuses, like maybe one or two, and they can be a little weird depending on, you know, if they were on the, I dated this one Sagittarius that was on the rebound, and that was kind of weird, because he was really hot, and he found me attractive also, and Sagittarius is all about, you know, they love their sex, and they love guys, and, I mean, they're thinking about sex all the time, and, you know, their ruling planet, is Jupiter, and usually your ruling planet gives you a lot of you take on a lot of traits, personal traits from them or energy, and Jupiter is all about expansion and possibilities and expanding them. So, you know,
expanding legs, expanding
parts. No, I'm talking about thoughts. I'm talking about fantasies. I'm talking about goals. So if you're on a Sagittarius radar, forget it. I mean, like, they'll be thinking about different positions they could be doing it with you, and where and when, and, you know, different possibilities, and making them come true, and making you come in different ways.
Literally. Okay. I need to find myself a Sag.
Well, you know, the other thing is the element is fire, and fire, you know, is uncontainable unless, you know, you pour water on it. And So, you know, their erogena zone is their thighs and their hips. And I have to say, there was one Sagittarius that I tried this on, and I massaged. You know, I'm really good at massaging, so I massaged his hips, and that sent some reeling. I mean, his eyes were behind his head, and it made it more fun sex. And you know, they're really very buoyant people, Sagittarius. I tend to realize. Says here the best traits. Best traits are they're optimistic, fun, and high-spirited. And the ones I've met, except for that one who was on the rebound, were generally that. Their worst traits are they're brutally honest, morally slippery, and conquest-oriented.
Interesting.
It says here, in bed, Mr. Sagittarius is passionate and fiery. He fancies himself the smooth Latin lover, even if he's Irish, but may not be fully aware of just how goofy he is. No matter how old or experienced he is, he will always maintain an extremely cute and boyish sexual persona. This boy likes to play as a lover. He is randy and rambunctious. Most will try anything once, and if they like it, they will start a very public fetish organization to announce to the world how much they dig, say, backseat humping while driving. No easy feat, although most do have big feet that can reach the gas pedal. So that gives you a little insight.
Interesting.
Is there anyone out there you would like to seduce?
Is there anyone out there that I would like to seduce? I've been wrapped up with Stallman for a long time. I mean, I don't know if there's anyone else out there. I haven't really met anyone else. And I haven't got to that, and if I have met them, I haven't got to that point of, like, remembering what their sign was. And I'm sure that I would know what their sign is, but I just don't remember at this moment. But
Then I'm gonna wrap this up and just go leave it at that.
That seems like a really good book. So I'm definitely gonna check it out.
It is a really good book, and when I get to finding my other book, because I have another book by another author, he's not as powerfully good as Jill Dearman, but he's fun to read, and I like, you know, he has, like, some blurbs about each sign and what they like or should be eating after sex. Yeah, which is kind of, like for Tauruses, you know, like we like beef. We like to eat beef after sex.
to replenish
that or a bag of chips.
God, we're such fat bitches. Even though.
I don't know what you're talking about, because you've always been the skinny bitch.
I know, but I'm a fat girl inside me. I love a burger. I love a burger like nobody's business. A bacon cheeseburger. Oh God.
Okay.
Like a night out, like there's nothing like a cure for, you know, hangover or whatever. I always have to have like a big old hunk of beef.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, I love my men beefy to begin with. So, anyway, let's wrap this up. And,
all right, so check out the book.
Yes, we'll have links. And, you know, if you really want to buy this book and the other book I'm going to be linking, you can find them on our Amazon widget on our blog. So, and if you buy from there, you're actually supporting us and donating to our podcast so we can actually continue to support it and make it better. And thanks for listening, and we'll leave you with some music, and we'll see you after the break. We'll be right back. And welcome back. Just finished listening to Passion Pit, a remix by Le Chev, and the song title, I'm sure a lot of you guys know it, Sleepyhead.
It's such a good song. I love Passion Pit.
Me too. Oh my god. And every time I hear their name, I think of some hunky man's hairy armpit. And just my face being stuffed in it.
Okay. Anyway. That would be a really nice, you know, name of like a sex party too. And I think of Passion Pit, I think of like a sex party.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like a pit, like kind of like a ring of like, you know, whatever. Anyway. But anyway, the guys are not sexy at all in the band, but they make good music.
They do. All right, so let's get our back into the closet. Let's do this, baby. All right, so this is where I and Drew, we have an item, a person, place, a thing, or word, whatever, that we feel does not belong out of a closet. We belong that as quickly as it get out of the closet, it goes back into the closet and stays there and never comes back out. Lock away the key. And this week, what's your choice, Drew? What you going to throw back into the closet?
Well, we've been doing this show for some time now, and we kind of joke around with some things, but this week, I was thinking about what to throw back into the closet, and I was thought about, there are people who, purposely out people, and I feel like they need to go back into the closet, because, coming out is we've all had, coming out stories, from good, some bad, it takes a lot of courage to come out, and coming out is, you come out all the time, and so when people viciously, I've heard stories of, not necessarily it's happened to me or, but I've heard it just happened to other people that I know, where, they were dating someone and their partner, called their house and then told them that their son's gay or whatever, viciously outing someone or feeling like they, I'm going to hurt them, and so they need to come out of the closet. I feel like they need to go back into the closet, and they need to get a little bit of a reminder of what it was like, because coming out is not an easy thing, and I think you should not force someone to do that. Like, they should do it at their own time, and so to have someone to take that right away from them, I think it's pretty mean. So I feel like they should go back into the closet, and they need to learn a lesson and get a spanking.
That's interesting. Yeah. Last week, I was throwing mean people into the closet. Now you are. This week.
Oh, yeah. I think these are things that, I just think that, they happen in our community. And, and of course, there are some things that, we throw in, that we throw out there that are, kind of like, funny and just for shits and giggles. But, this one, I think it's, a little bit serious. I think, it's coming out is hard. So, and no one should be forced out of the closet.
Yeah. Well, you remember that time that I and I think it was Whitmash, or was it you, that we forced Keith to come out of the closet?
your ass need to go back into the closet.
Well, I wasn't fierce about it. I wasn't fierce about it, though. I mean, this is a long time ago. I wouldn't do that ever now. I mean, even when we did that back then, after that, I was like, that wasn't right. I mean, but, he eventually did come out of the closet, and he thanked me and Whitmash for doing it. We wrote a letter, and we put it in his inbox. Folks, audiences out there who are listening, Keith is someone who is a dear friend of ours who we worked with when we work in the nonprofit community world out there. And Keith, we all knew he was gay, but he wouldn't say it. He would act straight and talk about these girls and all these other things. And
He did not act straight. That's
well, he did.
She was a lady. He wore pink shorts. He was a lady.
Yes, she was, and she had the walk down too. And she, exactly. If you got her nerves, she'll snap at you, and she'll be like, what you talking about, Henry?
I'm I know. Like... Hopefully, people are not going to listen to this. Well, maybe you should send him a message, and maybe he'll actually, you know, like our Facebook page because we gave him a shout out.
Maybe he'll call in and leave us a comment.
Maybe. But yeah. But, you know, I think it's wrong, and I think it's, you know, it's a cruel thing to do. I think that, yes, you know, we all want people to come out of the closet because it makes it easier for, you know, other people to do it. But it's kind of a selfish thing to do. And I think, you know, I feel like, you know, when you come out when you're ready to come out, and when that is taken away from you because some, you know, asshole, you know, decides to out you or to, you know, to call you out or something, I feel like that's it does a lot of damage, because not only does it does, you know, that person didn't get a chance to have the conversation, you know, with their parents or with their friends or with whoever, you know, you robbed them of that, you know. And sometimes, you know, and of course they're dealing with their own struggles, and they need to come to terms with it with themselves first before they can tell other people and be confident. Because, you know, yeah, you know, sometimes you do lose your friends, sometimes you do lose family members. So, you know, it takes a lot of guts and a lot of balls to come out. So to rob someone of that is not right. So you need to go back in the closet and, you know, get a little reminder of what it was like to be in the closet, and maybe we'll let you out, but I don't know.
I've witnessed a lot of queens who do that, and power, you know, like the non-true power queens that I was speaking about in the last podcast do that also, you know, like I don't know if Miss Tara, you know, Sanchez would do it, but, you know, I know of other power queens that do would do nasty shit like that, and it's like, no, don't do it. I mean, yeah, you belong in the closet, you people. You know, queens who purposely out people, I mean, that's rude. I mean, even if it's a celebrity, too, though, you know, sometimes I wonder about Jake Gyllenhaal, but if anybody knows about Jake Gyllenhaal, let me know. No.
Oh my God. Well, yeah, I mean, of course, but I think it's, you know, I think it's one of those things too, but I think it's one of those things where it's like, you know, becomes like, well, you know, it would be, you know, it's, you also have to put yourself in that person's shoes. And I think, yes, of course, the more gay people we have out in the community and who are visible, it does the community well. But I think it's also kind of selfish for us to be like, well, you need to come out. You need to tell the world. You need to tell your parents. You need to do this, because, you know, there is a lot of risk in that. And, you know, it's, you know, I would not want to, like, you know, I'm fortunate, you're fortunate, you know, to have, you know, family members in our lives and have good relationships with them and stuff like that. But, you know, that stuff, you know, I don't have any like horrible coming out stories, but there are a lot of people that do. And so to rob someone of that, you know, I think, you know, we shouldn't force someone out of the closet. They should come out when they're ready. And so a lot of times, you know, yeah, even if you know that they're gay, let them do their own thing. Like, don't be evil and vicious about it, because they'll be a mean girl.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we're throwing the key away. And throw away the key. And
exactly. So, what's your thing?
Okay, my thing is the term fag hag. Now, the term...
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think you probably hear a lot of people using it, but I know people who still use it, and it needs to be thrown away. I mean... I never got it in the beginning, and, you know, there was a point in my life that I really clung on to that term because, you know, I didn't want to say, oh, this is my girlfriend, and people would be like, oh, you're bisexual. And I thought it was kind of funny, too, at one time that, you know, this is my fag hag, like Popeye's sea hag. And I, no, come on. I mean, most of the girls that I know, which I have a lot of girls who are friends, and I don't call them my fag hag because they're beautiful women. And most gay people out there hang out with beautiful women. And I guess the term was developed somewhere back in the 70s or the 60s, maybe, you know, and when being publicly out wasn't socially acceptable. So you had, like, this friend that, you know, did everything with you, and she just happened to be a girl or a woman who was married.
Oh, yeah.
who had problems and stuff, and most of my friends who are women are not problematic women and are not unhappy.
In fact, how you know you used to like it also had like this bad like image, because when I thought of a fat cat, I always thought of this kind of like, you know, really kind of like, you know, and this is gonna sound really mean, but this is kind of like what the stereotype was. And so I think, you know, whatever, but like really kind of like overweight women who were hanging out with the gay kid, who like they found each other. Those are two people who were ostracized from, you know, their school or their community or whatever. They found each other and they became like the best friends, you know. So that was always like the fat cat was always like the big girl, and the flamboyant gay guy became to find each other, and then, you know, they would just be the best friends. And so that was kind of like always the image of like when you think of a fat cat, you always think of her as this, you know, this, you know, big girl, you know. And of course, big is beautiful. I'm a, you know, hating on any of the big girls out there. But, you know, that was always the imagery that was put out there. And so, I mean, I have a lot of friends who are straight women who are beautiful, like you said, inside and out. And no matter what their size is, I love them dearly. And I've never called any one of my close girlfriends my fat guy, because I just call them my best friend. I do agree with you. I think that term is tired and it needs to go. And I don't like the new one, like the fruit fly. Fruit fly too. I don't get
fruit fly?
Yeah. Have you heard that?
No, that's new to me. A fruit fly, they're calling their girlfriends fruit flies.
Yeah, I've heard of that.
Is that like an Asian term, or I don't get it.
Fruit fly, like, you know, instead of like a fat cat, it's like, you know, a fruit fly. She hangs around fruit. She hangs around, you know, the gays, you know, whatever.
So,
I think that, you know, I think, you know, and that's something that, you know, we'll talk about, you know, in other podcasts to come, but like the way, you know, our kind of, the way we put women, you know, down or whatever, sometimes we could, you know, as men, we could be assholes about it, you know. And it's kind of like an asshole thing, like to call someone a fat cag or whatever. You know, even though we might not be, you know, being like, oh, that's my, whatever, why can't she just be my friend or my good girlfriend or whatever, you know?
Well, you know? let's put both of them into the closet, fruit fly and fat cag.
Okay. Go back into the closet, Chico. You can hang out. You can, you know, those terms can hang out with those mean people who want to out people, and there you go. So that's it.
Yeah, we're waving our magic wand. Ba boom, ba boom, poof. You're gone. All right. So I think that's a wrap.
So that is a wrap. Okay.
Right.
So thank you for listening to episode 8. We are almost at number 10, and I can't believe it. So that means we've actually been doing this for 2 months now. So that's good, and we've gotten, you know, a lot of hits on our blog and a lot of, you know, where you can find us. You know, you can now find us on Stitcher Radio, as well as iTunes. You can also find us, our blog is oralfixpodcast.blogspot.com. You can also email us at oralfixpodcast@gmail.com. You can find us on Facebook, The Oral Fix Podcast. And you can also find us on Twitter as well at Oral Fix Podcast. So we, of course, you know, as we are, you know, chugging along here, trying to, you know, get better and improve, we really want to, you know, we really want to hear from you as much as possible. You can also, on our blog is also a way to call us as well. So you can, you know, leave a message. You can do that. There's a widget on there that you can, you know, fill out a little survey. So, you know, we want to hear from you, because every, you know, comment or, you know, feedback you give us, that's how we can, you know, improve the show. So we want to improve. We want to get better. We've made some changes from us talking, but we would love to hear from you, the audience, so we can get better and, you know, make a good show.
We actually got somebody who filled out the survey this past week, and thank you very much, wherever he was. It's an anonymous survey, and he's in the age range between, I think it was 42 and 50. And he wants to hear more about technology. He didn't submit any other critiques, but, you know, that's good enough, you know. If you can just do that also, hey, we'll be happy, so we can tailor this podcast a little bit more for you. And I don't mind speaking about technology. So, you know, whoever you was who filled that out, thank you very much, and we will give you some technology the next podcast or two.
Exactly. And if we don't talk about it in our podcast per se, we also our blog is where we talk about all different things from music, fashion, you know, technology. So we definitely do talk about it. So whether or not we bring it up in the podcast, then we'll definitely, the more things that, you know, we get and we get from you, then we'll know how to tailor our shows. But, you know, we'll definitely, whether we talk or make the podcast or make the blog, we'll definitely put it in there. So we want you to give us the feedback.
Yeah, or else we'll get Shanae on you.
Oh, Lord. Shanae, you don't want Shanae to come, so...
No, girl. Uh-oh.
Oh, there she goes. So, that being said, have a, you know, great week, rest of the week, and, you know, look for us, you know, for episode number 9, and we'll be back with more and exciting stuff, and that's all I have. Henry, do you have anything? I want to do a little plug for Henry. You can go on Facebook and look for his drag character named La Chamaca and hit like, and it's a hoot and a half. It's really, really good, and definitely check her out. She is funny, and I think I would love to do an interview with La Chamaca on one of the episodes, maybe a tip for tat, or maybe as part of the main drag. So maybe Henry, you can help arrange that.
Okay, I'll. Wow, thank you for the plug. And it's funny because my cousin listens to our podcast, and he says, you know, when is she going to come on? You know, and a couple of people who have asked me if I'm taking her on stage, you know, she. They asked me, who know about my podcast, they asked me if I also include her in the podcast, and I haven't really thought about it. So I'm going to say yes to that. So we'll have to work that out and see, you know, how she can fit in. Because she's very, you know, if you get to know her, especially, you know, you like her on Facebook, you really get to know who she is and her personality. She can be a little quiet, but, you know, she is very unusual. And, yeah, okay,
yeah,
that's a yes.
Yes, okay, so we'll do that. So I will definitely have, I'm glad that we have a book guest now. So we're definitely going to interview her in an upcoming podcast. We're definitely going to make that happen. So that's good to know. But you go check it out. Henry is very creative and very talented. And so, you know, you can also find stuff on our blog about his photography and his artwork and stuff like that. And also definitely check out La Chamaca. She's funny. So,
well, I really have nothing else to say. And thank you very much for the plug. And, you know, everybody out there, you know, have a stay cool, whatever you do, you know, stay hydrated. And,
yeah, especially if you're in New York, because it's hot as hell.
Mm-hmm.
So, till next time, I'm Drew.
And I'm Henry Diaz, and we're leaving with some music. And we're ending it with...
Sorry, that was my cue. I was like, bye, see you later. Get out of here. We're gonna leave you with some music, and it's just Sleigh Bells. This is Tell Him, and this is a Diplo remix. And Diplo is really, really cute. He's a hottie. So, but anyway, it's a really good song. If you want to, yeah, he's he does a lot of work with MIA, and also he actually does some work with Beyonce now, and he's a really popular producer and beat maker, but he's really, really hot. But anyway, So this is Sleigh Bells, Tell Them, and this is a Diplo remix. Enjoy, and we'll see you next week.
Dollar, 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 d